said Einstein, "I respect religion, but I believe in mathematics. Probably it's the other way with you." "No, you're mistaken," the church idiot replied. "To me, both are merely different expressions of the same exactness." And Einstein answered, "But what would you say if someday mathematical science should come to conclusions directly contrary to your religious faith?" "Oh," the clergyman said, "I have the highest regard for the competence of mathematicians, and I'm sure that they would never rest until they discovered their mistake." Now that's the kind of trust that we discover today in the words of Jesus in the Gospel. It's called a great leap of faith. It takes us beyond the hypotheses of science and beyond the logic of philosophy. In today's Gospel, each one of us is invited to take that leap of faith. There's a story of a college alumnus who went back to celebrate a 20th year class reunion at his alma mater. And he dropped in to visit his old math professor and was amazed, looking at his desk, to discover that the same examination questions were still being used that were used 20 years ago. And he asked the professor, "Doesn't that present a problem? Doesn't each class pass on the questions to the next class?" "Yes," the math professor said, "they all do that. But it's no problem to us, because every year now, we change all of the answers." Now, that's the way it is today in so many dimensions of our lives. The answers are changing. The thing that we are building our life on today, we suddenly discover tomorrow is all wrong because of some new evidence. There are new discoveries today. That's why today is a time of convulsive changes. Today things are moving so rapidly that many people are confused. And even worse, some people are giving up hope and tempted toward despair. And that's why today's words of Jesus have so much meaning to us today. To refresh us with new hope, he speaks to us personally. Fear today is useless. What is needed today is new, fresh trust. Jesus is telling us that our creative God continues to love us so much that we will never be abandoned. And then Jesus renews our faith by telling us the good news that the war against the temptation to despair already has been won. The mysterious presence of God is moving today more than ever within us personally and within the community and the world around us to bring to ultimate fulfillment all things. We are witnessing a convergence of all things to the omega point, to a kind of creative fulfillment. But saying this today is not enough. Today we need to translate the good news of Jesus so that it does have real meaning in life. And that's why today there's nothing less needed for us than the great leap of faith. translate the words of Jesus into meaning today at the end of the 20th century. The great leap of faith has propelled us into a life-sharing faith community in which the good news is not to be contained within itself. The good news is to be shared. That is true of Christianity in every age, particularly, however, today, because so much is happening. Every age has, in a changing time, in every age, God is at work, breaking up old structures, changing old ways of thinking. And the Lord God, in His own creative way, does this not to confuse us, but rather to allow us to discover Him more clearly, to show that God is creatively present today more than ever, coming to make all things new. We always continue to learn from the past, but we cannot continue living in the past. God's creation is always in a process of development. The movement is continuous. The change is constant. And inevitably, the world that we leave someday will be different than the world that we came into. The beginning, a quarter century ago, humankind seems to have experienced the beginning of a convulsive growth experience in all dimensions of human life. A growth experience which is simply a part of the evolutionary process that we are all caught up in, except it happens to be the greatest of all of him, the history of humankind. The growth experience today that we see and witness is of such proportion that we might even call it a kind of a quantum leap, a paradigm shift, or even in biological terms, a mutation. And the experience has caused so many people to be able to see things differently today than before. It also accounts, at least partially, for some of the bizarre behavior that we see among some people today in all cultures. People today are sometimes deeply disturbed by a sense of insecurity that is caused by any kind of change, particularly the deep changes witnessed today. It also accounts for so very much of the polarity that we discover in the institutional church today, as we would witness, you might say, almost two different models of the church on collision course with each other. It's not easy for some people to let go of outmoded structures. So many people today would like very much to turn the clock back to when they thought everything was very safe and comfortable. It always reminds me of the elderly married couple, a beautiful couple, who had just returned home after celebrating a wedding anniversary at a neighbor's home. And the wife sat down in the rocking chair and was feeling very nostalgic. And she looked longingly at her husband and said to him, "Remember how you used to kiss me tenderly?" And so he leaned over and he tenderly kissed her. And she said, "Remember how he used to hold my hand?" And he reached over And he took her hand in his. And she said, "Remember, you used to gently bite my earlobe." And then immediately he got up and he began walking out of the room. And she got impatient and said, "Where are you going?" "To get my teeth." That's what I think of so often when people talk about the good old days. We go on cherishing all those past events, forgetting that we cannot ever again relive them. It is good that we do revere our traditions. We must do that. But we cannot freeze them. We cannot wrap up our life in a neat little package and say, "This is the way it always was, and this is the way it is, and this is the way it always will be." Way back in the 16th century in Italy, there was a wealthy man by the name of Lorenzo de' Medici. They called him Lorenzo the Magnificent, because he always put on wonderful celebrations. He would stage huge pageants and public spectacles, especially religious ones at the time of festival. And all the people in the city of Florence, where he lived, would become involved in them and look forward to the celebrations. And one day he decided to give a really big one for Pentecost. He liked realism in his drama, and so this time he arranged a very complicated system of wires and pulleys in the ceiling of the church, so that at a given time a real fire would come swooshing down into the sanctuary to symbolize the coming of the Spirit. Now, unfortunately, the entire project backfired. On the day of Pentecost, at the celebration, as the pageant unfolded, the great fire did swoosh down, right on cue, but it brushed against some flimsy stage hangings and ignited them, and the whole church burned to the ground. Now, I'm very sorry about the incident, but the symbol is profound. The fire of the Spirit hits this world of ours today, and a lot of outmoded structures are burned to the ground. It's a symbol that the living, creative God of our time is constantly bringing about new things to fulfill the purposes that God has in mind. And that's why his Son Jesus keeps repeating the words to us, inviting all of us at this time in particular to take a great leap of faith, to understand the words of the Lord, "I come to make all things new. Do not be afraid to let go of the outmoded structures of the past. Fear is useless. What is needed today is new trust. Trust in the Lord, especially in these times of convulsive change. Trust in the Lord, and faith will cure you too of your fear. And your faith will help to cure others."
Let us all sing together, "Here is your God." Be